And we will start with prayer. Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you that it's been productive and time also restful. And we'd ask that you be with us now as we look into your word and enlighten our eyes and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So this may be introductory too, but a little bit. One of the things I noticed in Genesis is there's very, very little instances of what we would call prayer in. I'm not saying there's none, but most of what goes on in Genesis is God speaking to man, not man speaking to God. Over and over again, God will just says, God said to Abraham, or God appeared to Abraham. He spoke to him in a vision. Not that much, even in the first chapter or first chapters, with Cain and Abel, God all of a sudden intervenes and is speaking directly with Cain after he kills his brother. The other thing I noticed is if you look up the word pray in the King James Version, you're going to get thrown off, at least we will in Genesis, because what you're going to come up with is a lot of verses that say something along the line, I pray thee, such and such, which really means please, in essence, and has nothing to do with what we're talking about when we say prayer. But there are three verses that actually do use the root form of the word that is translated as prayer throughout the rest of the Old Testament. And those three verses are Genesis 27, Genesis 20:17, and Genesis 48:11. The root word is what is it? Well, I think it's tefillah, and the word for prayer is usually tefillah, but the root is very strange root because, and you'll look at Genesis 48:11, and you'll see what I mean. Because this is the one of the three verses that I mentioned where when you look at it, you say, well, I don't see prayer there. And I had to really dig to find that out. But just to give you an example of what the root meaning is, in 48:11, this is when Jacob meets up with Joseph after
They were reunited.
they're reunited. And Israel says to Joseph, I never expected to see you again. And here God has let me see you, your children as well. This is the JPS. Well, where's this word for prayer? And it's in the word expected, or at least in this version, it's translated as expected. I think it's translated all of a lot of different ways. One of the root meanings of tefillah is, I would say, maybe most akin to the way the Southerners say out something like, I reckon I'll see you down the road, peace, or something like that.
I'm fixing.
I'm fixing. Yeah, well, reckon more than fixing, because it's like Jacob's saying, I never reckoned I'd see you again, type of thing. So you say, well, what does that have to do with prayer? And what I think you're going to see is this is the only thing I could figure from the commentary I looked at. It has the prayer aspect of it is intercessory prayer. And the relationship between the two words is that whereas in the case of Jacob here, he's the one who's doing the reckoning or the judging. But when there's intercessory prayer, perhaps what the reason or the relationship between the word is that it's you t interceding with God for him to do, to exercise his judgment in the situation. Because the other two verses are in the same context, 27 and 2017. And this, let's turn to that, Genesis 20.
Wait, did you say 27?
20, verse 7.
Oh.
And then going down through 17. So this is when J Abraham and Sarah go into the land of the Philistines, and he tells Sarah, tell anybody who asks you that you're my brother. And they do that. And then Abimelech, in the meanwhile, has decided he's going to take Sarah as his wife since she's just Abraham's sister, not knowing that he's really Abraham's wife. And then when he finds out, he's quite upset, and he says to Abraham, well, actually, God comes again and talks to him. God said to Abimelech in the dream, no, where is that? I said go all the way back to verse 3. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, you are to die because of the woman that you have taken, for she is a married woman. And then he further goes on and says, therefore, restore the man's wife since he is a prophet. He will intercede for you. And that word intercede is the word for prayer. He will intercede for you to save your life. If you fail to restore, know that you shall die, you and all that are yours. So that's the first instance in the Bible of the word prayer. And it's where God is telling Abimelech that he should restore Sarah to Abraham, and that Abraham will intercede for him. Then in 2017, Abraham then prayed to God, same word again, interceded with God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his slave girls so that they bore children. So that's the only instance of the to fall in the entire book of Genesis, right
Wow.
there. However, you probably can think of two other instances where you would say definitely prayer was going on. Can you think what they are?
Yeah, Isaac.
Isaac.
Yeah.
And
Well, in the sense that I'm sure Abraham must have been in a lot of
distress.
When he was told that he must sacrifice his son.
Yeah. Now, there's another instance of God speaking to Abraham.
Yeah.
And there isn't any dialogue that I know of between Abraham and God when he says, when he's told that. It's not like he's, as in Dylan's song,
I know you
says,
must be putting me
you
on.
must be put. No, he never does that. Which is really amazing. You know,
Yeah.
there's no, it's just, I trust you and I'm going to do what you say type of thing. And,
And then the only other thing I can think of is like Joseph. Like when he was thrown in prison, there's probably a lot of prayer.
there could have been, there may have been, but again, no mention of it. However, remember when Abraham sends his servant to find the bride
Oh, yeah.
for Isaac. What does the servant do?
Right. He
In verse
says,
22, it
give me
says
some
the,
success. Yeah.
that's let me see if I can find that. I think it's chapter 15. No, it's not. I have the wrong reference. It is not chapter 18. I don't know what I was thinking. Oh, I know why, because that's the other instance. It's later on. In 18, when God, first of all, God comes to Abraham and says, he says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, since Abraham is to become a great and populous nation?" And he tells him, "The outrage of Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grave, I will go down to see whether they have acted
Oh,
altogether
yeah.
according to the outcry." And then Abraham came forward and said, and when he comes forward and said, he's talking now to God and says,
Right.
"Will you sweep away the innocent along with the guilty?" There's the intercessory prayer that
Right.
Barak said. It
And
goes
he,
on.
it goes from like 50 to down to five, something like
10,
that.
down to 10. And
Oh, that, yeah, down to
yeah, and
10.
then he stops.
So Abraham, in other words, Carter, to put it in context, God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and his cousin Lot was living in Sodom. And when God told Abraham what he was intending on doing, Abraham said, "You know, will you destroy it if you find 50 righteous people there?" And he goes, "No, for the sake of the 50, I won't destroy it." And he goes, "Okay, well, let's say that there's only 40 righteous people." He goes, "I won't do it for 40. Okay, what if there was 30?" You know, and he keeps on going down and down and down. And you know,
Yeah.
they have this back and forth until he reduces it down to 10. And if there's 10 righteous people, so obviously that also illustrates how wicked that place was if
Yeah.
there wasn't even 10 righteous people.
Even 10, right. And there wasn't, he doesn't even deliver 10, though. The only people that are delivered is Lot, his wife, and his two daughters, four people. The
Yeah.
others who were invited say, "You're crazy," you know. They says that he's peered to them as if he was jesting. You know, they can't, you know, "God's going to destroy the city. You got to be kidding," you know.
I think that's a illustration of what's going to happen at the end times.
Could be. Yeah. I'm sure people mock it even now. People you've seen, they used to make all, it was a standard joke, you know, the guy standing on the corner with the end of the world is near, you know, like what kind of fool would do that? But that's one instance, clear intercessory prayer. And then in Genesis 24, this is the final one, is with the servant, starting in verse 12, where he says, it says he made the camels kneel down by the well outside the city at eventime when the women came out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, grant me good fortune this day and deal graciously with my master Abraham." This is the first prayer, recorded prayer in the Bible.
That's pretty
Literally.
great. Yeah.
"O Lord God of my master Abraham, grant me good fortune this day and deal graciously with my master Abraham. Here I stand by the spring as the daughters of the townsmen come out to draw water. Let the maiden to whom I say, 'Please lower your jar that I may drink,' and who replies, 'Drink, and I will also water your camels,' let her be the one whom you have decreed for your servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that you have dealt graciously with my master." He had scarcely finished speaking when Rebekah was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with the jar on her shoulder, etc. So the prayer is answered immediately, too, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
So that's what I found in Genesis. I don't, we, you know, we can continue on this approach. I didn't do more than one chapter. I didn't know where this would take us, but
No, I think that that's really interesting. I think that that's really cool that I never recognized that that was the first recorded prayer.
unless I missed one, because that, you know, it doesn't, these two instances both The one where Abraham is speaking with God after he reveals himself, and this one where it's more a formal prayer, are the only two things I could think of where there was something like prayer in the book of Genesis. But all the other times, it's God talking to man. And there may be some dialogue going on, but it's not initiated by man.
Well,
Is there
I mean,
anything?
it's a good topic to pursue. I'm reading Pink's The Heroes of Faith right now that I just started. And it's basically an exposition of Hebrews 11. But he talks about everybody who's mentioned in there. So, in other words, chapter one is Abel, chapter two is Enoch, and so on and so forth. I don't know if that would be of interest.
Well, I don't know. Abel, a hero of faith, because his sacrifice obviously reflected a faith.
I thought that what he said about that was really interesting.
What does he say?
Well, he said that. Although it's not recorded in scripture, he says there's reason to believe that Cain and Abel had learned that God expected these sacrifices from, their parents, and Abel's was according to God's will. That it was the killing of the lamb, and the first of the flock that was killed. And so, whereas Cain's was just from the fruit of the ground. And he's saying the problem with that is that Cain's approach was what he had produced. Cain was because he had grown these vegetables or the fruit or whatever it was. God wouldn't accept that. It had to be well, I don't
I
remember
get what
exactly
you're
what he said
saying.
about that, but what he's saying is that it was Cain's effort and not God's. And so he was saying that's really the first instance of the gospel being presented in scripture is that record of Cain and Abel, because Abel's was through the shedding of blood, there's the remission of sins. What else did he say? I can't recall anything else, but I thought that was really interesting that it's demonstrated right there from the very first records of scripture, there's the gospel.
Now, a lot of people might say, and maybe Pink said it too, that the first instance of the gospel would have been when God slew the lamb to provide the clothing for Adam and Eve.
He does mention that as well.
I figured he would have.
But something along those lines, because I do remember him saying that. Yeah, he does, because he provides the covering.
He provides the covering,
Right.
and the second or the continuation of the gospel would be when he says to the woman, he says, "I will put enmity," speaking to the serpent, really, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. They shall strike at your head, and you shall strike at, or his, he will strike at your head, and you shall strike at his heel." I think it's hinted at there. That's the first really promise of a savior, or some. There's going to be this seed that's going to strike at the serpent's head. And I think Eve somehow understands that, Because in verse chapter 4, the first verse, it says, "Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gained a man child with the help of the Lord." Is that the child that she, I think she thought that was the fulfillment of the promise.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But I think you're right. The difference between Cain and Abel's sacrifice, like Pink says, is Cain's is related to the curse. Cursed
Right.
shall the ground
That's
be
what he
for,
said too.
for
Cursed
thy
is the
sake, by the
ground.
sweat of your brow shall you eat thereof.
Right. And so he's going to take things from the cursed ground and present that as an
Because,
offering.
which could only be produced by the sweat of his brow, which was the result of the curse. So here's the cursed man trying to satisfy God with the fruit, which really
His
was
own
the outcome of
labors,
the
yeah.
cursed condition, which was an impossibility. Whereas, like you're pointing out, Abel, on the other hand, following the initial paradigm of the lamb slain to provide the covering, offers up to God not the fruit of his labor, but the gift, what God has provided to him, because all he had to do was the lambs raised themselves. He just had to take care of them. It wasn't like he was producing something out of this cursed condition. So I think that's
Yeah,
very
and you
beautiful,
know, he
but
said, and that's why Cain's was rejected, because without faith, it's
it's
impossible to
impossible to
God.
please him. Yeah.
And Abel's was a demonstration of that faith, which is why he's recorded in Hebrews 11.
Yeah. I think that's very good.
So, yeah, that's.
Yeah, I don't think they're all going to be examples of prayer, but you probably will find a lot of them who are in there.
So what so we should go
So next,
into
what I would
now
do,
for next week, we should go to Exodus
Exodus, let's
and
see.
see if we can pull out examples of prayer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we may want to go beyond Exodus. I really have no idea.
Right.
There may be a lot, there may be nothing, but we'll give it a shot.
No, I think that this is a good study. I
Okay.
thought that what we talked about in Genesis was profitable.
Yeah. I'm going to keep a
I
record of
really,
these, because then
I think that'd be great.
we'll have like all the we'll have
Or
a
yeah,
Bible
I
and the
mean,
prayers of the Bible.
I think that would be awesome to keep track of the ones that we discussed tonight and going forward, because that would be really good. I
Yeah.
do think it's interesting that that first recorded prayer was answered instantaneously.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
All
Now,
right. Well, I'm going to start searching through it.
Abraham's intercession is also
Also
interesting,
answered instantly. That's right.
because
Because he
it
goes,
wasn't that
I won't do it for the sake of the 50.
the difference is this: when the servant prayed, it was a prayer. It's more, I think, what we commonly think of as prayer to meet a need. He needed direction. He needed guidance. You see? So he was praying to have a need met, and that prayer was answered instantly. When Abraham prayed, it wasn't for something that he needed. It was for something, well, it reflects his concern for Lot, but what he was, his is more intercessory than it is coming to God with a need that he wants to have fulfilled. Abraham's coming to God saying that, I'm concerned about these people here, that you're going to say, what about the righteous people that might be there? And he's interceding for them. There's a verse in the New Testament, I think, the one where it says, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands to God. It's in Timothy. We should look at this before we stop, because this is like a pattern of all the different types of prayer. So let me see if I can find that. I think it's in maybe a second Timothy. I can get the concordance if I have to. Yeah, I'm gonna have to look it up. Just a minute. Prayer, huh? I think I still know that's not what I want. Move down to Timothy. See what I got. No, it must be. I'm going to look up intercession. Nope. It's not a word. Oh, of course not. I can't find it.
What was the expression again?
Wait a minute. First Timothy 2:8. I got it. I had to look up holy hands. Let's see why. He says, I exhort, this is First Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So he mentions one, two, four aspects of prayer: supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks. That it be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So that's a good sort of model for the study, I think, too, to keep in mind. Any
Yes.
So next time, we can get into we'll try Exodus and see what we come up with, or maybe I'll look, if it looks like it's just one or two verses, I'll look into, a
I'll
couple of,
start going into other
yeah, it's
books.
into the ones after, so
Yeah.
I have a little bit more. I didn't know how this was going to go, or if you had some other ideas.
Yeah, no, I think that this is a good idea, and we'll see what
Okay.
we can get.
Continue with.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, this will be a shorter study then, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll maybe be able to see you next weekend.
All right, yes, sounds
Sunday.
good.
I'll plan on, unless you have some other thing come up, let me know. That's
Yeah,
all.
no, we should be free.
Okay. Sounds good. Bye bye then.
All right,
Carmen,
then.
good night.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
All right.